only the first three songs. Thank you. You won't need to flash or movie light, so please make sure to turn them off. If you are electronically deprived, like myself, please ask the person next to you how you do this. You might not even know them. I'm sure they'll know. And there's no need to text anyone during the show. I've already called your babysitter and told her that you'll be late tonight. So please turn your phone off. Enjoy the show in the moment, live here with me tonight. I'll see you in a few. Can't wait to play. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Take your reason to the Lord. I'm not falling anymore. I'm beklempt. New York, it's so good to be back! Already, thank you so much. First of all, I have to thank Jason Bonham and his amazing band. They are tremendous. Lovely people. Lovely people, great, great players, and we have them with us for the whole tour, and it's just so phenomenal. We really enjoy having them around, so it's great. This right now is the Peter Frampton Band. Over the years, the first band I came and toured over here was the Frampton's Camel Band. And we recorded Frampton's Camel album in New York, of course, and Electric Lady, and down on West 8th. And that was the very first time we met who was to be our drummer, Mr. John Sayomas. And we're going to celebrate a couple of people that we've lost that played with us because we love them so much. And this is a historic day for us right here. When John played this track that we're going to do now, this song we're going to do now, he was just a session player, and I didn't know if he was going to join the band or not, so I asked him. And he joined, so he was with us, you know, live album, Frampton, something, all those early records, and phenomenal player. And he had a bit of a rough-looking drum kit, I have to say. So I said, "Do you want to get a new drum kit or something?" He said, "Well, I've always wanted a big green Ludwig kit, like John Bonham or Jason Bonham." And so I said, "Well, yes, we all love him, obviously." So I called Ludwig and I ordered a white one for me and a green one for John. And then, the next thing was, years went by, and then a guitar tech came to me and said, "Pete, I've just seen on eBay what I think is John's green drums." I said, "You've got to be kidding me." So I looked, and they were. And so I had to buy them for the second time. And they were much more expensive the second time, too. Why is that? Well, anyway, would you believe that right over there is the green drum kit? John's with us too. He is. I love you too, sir. In a manly kind of way, I do. I really do. And there's one other person. One sec. We'll let the press conference begin after I tell the story. The other person that has meant so much to me over so many years was our keyboard player, who was from New York. And you hear it being shouted out, but you have to know who it is, because it was, I said it on Front of Comes Live, Bob Mayo on keyboards, Bob Mayo! What we like to do in this song is I picked out some of my archival photos of all of us, and especially John and Bob, and enjoy them, please. Come on, words you said. Seems for God strangers that don't speak too bad. Well, thank you so much. We're having fun now, are we? All right. I forgot to tell you, this is the guitar I got after it went away for 30 years. This is the one on the front cover of your live album. Too long a story right now, but it's back. And so anyway, I never know quite what to do here. Unless, should we, what do you think, A or B? A or B? Great, thanks. This one, I made a little bit of money. My first time at making enough money to put a down payment on a very small house in London, because it was right off Abbey Road, and so St. John's Wood. And so anyway, the band I was with, Humble Pie, we all shared this very nice advance that A&M Records sent us, and for signing with them for four years. And so anyway, we all put down payments on houses, and guess whose one turned out to be the party house? Yes. So there were all these people coming out. It started Wednesday night, and it went through to like Tuesday, about 5 a.m. So every night, and so, you know, Tuesday morning, I'm walking down.
Come on, baby.
All these bodies in my living room. Anyway, the final straw was I was just on the street one night. It was 3:30 and 4 o'clock maybe, and the doorbell goes. I thought, Christ, look at this beat. And so I went down, opened the door, and there's this guy with two suitcases going, "Hello, Pete. My friend says you're very nice and you'd let us stay at your house for 3 weeks. I said, "No, but come in." And I said, "And who's this?" He said, "Oh, that's my girlfriend." "Is that all right? Can she come soon?" I said, "Oh." So anyway, I finally saw the funny side of this. And so I kind of wrote it all down and made it into a song that was on Wind of Change, my first solo record. And it's called The Road. We'll be right back. You're too much. Thank you so much, New York. Very special night. Thank you. So, all right. You were married 23 years, or you've been watching me for 23 years? Okay, fantastic. Thank you. I've cancelled the press conference, and I'm going right on here. Last year we did 71 shows all around the country and in Canada, obviously, as well, and mainly with Steve Miller Band, who I love. I've known him since I was about this big. And he said, you should come out and play some blues with me during my show. And so he made me come out every night, not that I didn't want to, but I came out every night and we played between 2 and 6 blues numbers right in the middle of his act. And we had a lot of fun. And so I got my juices flowing to do some blues myself. And so we went straight back home after the tour, and I said on the bus, let's take 10 days off and then just go in my studio and let's just cut all our favorite blues tracks. So we did. And the album is called All Blues, because that's what it is. The nod to Miles Davis there. And so we thought that we would like to do you a couple from this album. Oh yeah, the other thing, I forgot. It's been a number one on the Billboard Blues Charts for 11 weeks. So. Thank you, blues community. So we'll do you a couple now from this. And this first one is a tune that was written by my mum's favorite composer, Hoagy Carmichael, who was a mean piano player as well. And you know the song, and you probably heard Ray Charles sing it. And Greg Allman sang it, and then I was still in England when I first heard Steve Winwood sing this. He was in Spencer Davis' group at the time, so he must have been 16 or 17, and he killed it too. I'm a huge Steve Winwood fan, and always have been. And always will be. I'm not gonna compete with those guys. So we're gonna play it for you. It goes something like this. Thank you.
But it all
Thank you so much. This is a great thing for us in the band because I have a lifelong friend which started in 1979 when he joined the band. And he's from New York. And he's played with us for nearly 30 years. Mr. John Regan on bass.
Thank you.
again, please. Oh, thank you, Spencer. This idea to do an instrumental album, and it's called Fingerprints. It's all right, I got over it. more promotion needed here. That was the problem. So I decided that I would ask as many of my dear friends that I've got to know over the years who are heroes, and some heroes that I haven't known before. And so I literally went halfway around the world meeting up with people and taking a day in the studio and doing some tracks. The first place I went, I sat in with Pearl Jam in 2004 on their Rock the Boat. And so Mike McCready and Matt Cameron, I went and met them in in Grungeville in Seattle. And we went in the studio. We cut two tracks, the one we're going to do now, and another one, so that was a fantastic start. And then Warren Haynes, dear friend and incredible guitar player, and the hardest working man in rock. He met me in New York here, and we went down again to Electric Lady and recorded the blues down there, so that was fantastic. And there's always one, I think with any artist, be it a photographer, actor, you know, singer, painter, there's always one person that sticks out above all that is the reason why you started playing or painting or taking pictures or whatever it is as an artist. And for me, it was a man called Hank Marvin in The Shadows, which was an English band. And they were Cliff Richard's backup band. He's like the English Elvis Cliff, but he's still going. I called Hank up, and we met in London at Mark Knopfler's studio, who lent it to us for the day, which was very nice. And I joined The Shadows for a day. They were all there. So this was a dream come true for me and completed the circle from where I started, you know, so as well. So, and then there's one other person that is has been a huge influence and a great, great friend of mine for many years, since I was 14. And that is Bill Wyman, original bass player of the Rolling Stones. And he's been like my older brother. He's got me into trouble and he's got me out of trouble. You can read his book, Bill Wyman. Anyway, and mine. So I called Bill up. I said, "Hey, Bill, how's it going?" "All right." So I said, "Really? So everything good over there?" "Yeah." So I said, "Look, I'm doing this instrumental record. What do you think about the chances of you and I playing together, you know, because we've done sessions together years ago?" And he said, "All right." So it was very short, concise sentences, but we got a lot done. I thought, well, look, Bill, you left the Rolling Stones after the Steel Wheels tour. I said, "You haven't played with Charlie for how many?" "I don't know." So then I said, "Well, what do you think? What do you think about, can you call him and see if he'd like to play on a track with us? Because I've known Charlie as long." And he said, "All right, I'll call him." And so... So nothing for a couple of days. And then the phone rings, and I see it's Charlie Watts. So I pick up the phone, and I go, before I can say hello, he goes, "I'll do it." So, this number we're going to do now, I first heard it on the radio in 94 when it came out. This guy's Soundgarden. And Chris Cornell, obviously, was the second. And so what happened was, the album came out, and you know, and nothing much happened there. So I actually went to the mailbox a couple of days later, and there were two large envelopes in there, and I brought them in and opened them up, and they were two Grammy nominations for Fingerprints, the instrumental album. So I thought, well, I don't have a Grammy, let's see if we can try it. I did it. Do it! I love that. Do it! I love that. Excuse me, 23rd Street, do it! 33rd 8th, look at me! 33rd 8th! That's where it is, and it's a garden! So anyway, I went to the Grammys and I sat down, and as soon as I sat down, they read my name out for the best instrumental album of the year. So I got my Grammy and I took it home. So thank you. So this being that we've lost Chris now, and I got to play it with him live. He called me up and asked me to come play the song with him. So I had this amazing experience of playing this song with Chris Cornell, and we became friends. So this means a lot to me. And so I always like to, when we play this number, I like to dedicate it to Chris Cornell, his wife Vicky, and their two children.
Thank you.
shoes.
Thank you.
Adam Leska on guitar. Adam! Let's hear it. So I had to write a whole album in a very short space of time. This was the Frampton album, and I really didn't have a lot of time in between touring and writing and recording and touring and all that back then. So I decided I work best alone sometimes, and then I decided I would go to Nassau, Bahamas, and I borrowed Steve Marriott's cottage on the beach there. But when I got to the airport, I know that guy over there, so I dropped my bags. It was Alvin Lee, 10 years after, was over there in Nassau at the same time as me. So I dropped my bags, I go over, and I give him the biggest hug. You know, we haven't seen each other in a year or something. Give him a big hug, and from the time that the clasp opened up for the next 2 weeks, we don't remember a goddamn thing. No, nothing. So it was the lost 2 weeks for me. But anyway, after he left, I had 8 days left to write some songs, and so I popped some Tylenol, and then I decided that I would pick my acoustic up on that first day and try a different tuning. And so I tried different tuning, and I came up within about 20 minutes, half an hour, I came up with Show Me the Way. So, which we've done on. Haven't we? I'm old. So anyway, I put that on the good pile, which is a good pile of one at this point. And so then I decided I'd have a swim and eat, because you've got to go that way, because my mom says if you eat and swim, it's not good. You get paralyzed or something. I'm sure she just scared me. It's an old mom's day. So anyway, I went out and took my guitar outside this time. It's beautiful after lunch and sitting under this lovely palm tree with my boombox, my acoustic, and a pad and pencil. And so again, by about 4 o'clock, I came up with what I thought was a good melody and chords and everything. And then by about 5, I started writing the lyrics. And this song, I wrote this song and Show Me the Way the same day. So it's I've been trying to work out whether I have Raisin Bran or Cocoa Pops. You know what I mean? I'd love another one of those days. Anyway, here it is.
I'm not afraid.
the help of some father. No, I can't hear it well enough. Are you ready? That's it. That's it.
Come on, baby. He's good.
okay? Leave it alone.
Thank you.
some humble pie. On this stage, I was on the other side, but okay. The gear was ready, and my amp was on. It was a sound check, and Jerry Shirley's drums were up, so he was messing on his drums. And I just, without any PA or anything, I just went, and I went, "Wow, this is a huge place." And then I went. And I thought, wow, let's try an A. And then Steve Marriott, who was at the mixing board, came running down to the front of the stage, jumped up on the stage, and didn't even grab a guitar, and he just said, "Hold on the E." And we did this, we wrote this number on this stage that night. And this is what Jerry Shirley did to start it off. Thank you.
world.
stick. No, I wish we were learning. This whole tour has been like this, but you are the best audience, so I can't believe this is so amazing. And you've just been, I just feel this incredible love and encouragement coming to me. I can't thank you enough. With all this love, I don't see why you can't heal me. I won't say goodbye.